It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morena. Mayor Phil Goff, how are you this morning?
I'm great, thanks, Rachel, and te mari ai to you and all the listeners.
It's, yes.
Another day in paradise.
it's hot up here at the moment, isn't it?
It is. I think we've all enjoyed some of those cooler nights, however, after the incredible humidity we had earlier in the month. It's I love summer. But February humidity is something that I'd happily live without.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I think maybe the drought was nice for in the last couple of years. We forgot about that for a wee bit. Speaking of forgotten things, though, this kind of neatly swivels us into our first topic today, which is Otahuhu Town Centre. That's how they're feeling at the moment, a little bit forgotten. There's updates that were scheduled to be completed a long time ago in the town centre, and the community is still waiting to see what's going to happen there. What is going on in Otahuhu at the moment?
Yeah, well, it's quite straightforward, unfortunately, and that is with the impact of COVID on council revenue and the loss of $1 billion over 4 years. Part of the Otahuhu town centre upgrade that we announced in 2019 has had to be deferred. It will be done eventually, but we need the funds first. We've made several efforts to try to get funds, the shovel-ready projects that the government announced, but we weren't successful. But as the article you've probably read on it, some people in the article have acknowledged there are some real improvements that people have seen there already. Along Station Road, if Otahuhu, where you've got wider pavements, mm-hmm. native trees planted, rain gardens for filtering stormwater, street furniture, new lighting. There's been some great progress made, but I guess the progress made highlights this that hasn't been done yet, and we really want to get on and do that. But we have to have the funds first.
When will we start to see? Really? I mean, it's a tricky conversation for the whole city at the moment. But for some of these town centres and some of these projects that have been long overdue for, particularly South Auckland as well, we are seeing, it's getting a longer and longer time before these things are completed or started, even for some other projects. When are we going to be able to get that funds together? Is there a timeline or a plan from the council for that?
Yeah, there absolutely is a timeline, and you will know, well, I know even better because I've been around for a fair while. A lot of our town centres around Auckland were in pretty shoddy shape, and we've moved to upgrade a whole lot of them. In neighbouring Papatoetoe, for example, we're starting work there, more intensive housing, more open space. In Manukau, you can see all the work that's happened with around where the new Manukau Institute of Technology is, Takapuna, the creation of their new square, Northcote, where we're totally redoing the town centre and we're turning a drain into a daylighted stream with proper landscaping and tree planting and recreational areas. So there's a lot of that stuff happening that just wasn't done for years and years. We'd like to do it more and we'd like to do it faster, but we can do as much as we've got the revenue to do. And on one hand, I've got a group of people screaming at me that, they don't want to pay any more rates, they want to pay less rates, but they'd like to have all of these things done. Well, two don't add up, and you know that, and I know that, and everybody listening to the program knows that. So we're doing it as quickly as we can, but acknowledging there's an extent to which we can't put people under pressure by increasing rates beyond a certain level. So it's a balancing act, as most things in life, actually. But you can see the good things that are happening, and they need to happen, and we want them to be done as quickly as possible.
Speaking of relatively contentious rates and taxes, the regional fuel tax is back in the, public discourse at the moment because it's very expensive to buy fuel right now. And Christopher Luxon from the National Party is saying that he'd like to see the end of it. What is your thoughts around this for Aucklanders and that regional fuel tax?
Yeah, I saw that from the National Party leader and the spokesperson on transport. The biggest amount of money from the regional fuel tax is going in their area. It's called the Eastern Busway, and the regional fuel tax is contributing about a quarter of the $1 billion that is going into that project. So it's $272 million. Now, if we didn't have that money, then that job wouldn't be done, and they wouldn't have a modern, updated busway that means that by the time we've completed it, you'll be able to get from Botany to town in 40 minutes. You know, look, everybody knows the city's growing. That means, was growing until COVID, that is. That means that you've got to provide more infrastructure to keep up with population growth. You can't jam your roads up with more and more cars. We need more and better public transport. The busway is one way of doing that. But, of course, you know, we've completed the first stage of that busway. We're now working on the second stage. We've done Pemua to Pakuranga. We're now doing Pakuranga to Botany. But in the first stages of stage two, it's about planning, it's about design, it's about getting consents. The heavy expenditure comes when you've done all of those things. So the money that we've collected through the regional fuel tax is what's called hypothecated. That's a fancy word which means you can't use it for any reason other than what it is provided mm-hmm. for under the legislation. So nobody's siphoning the money off or making a profit out of it. Just take the new electric trains that we've got on order at the moment. We're going to spend another $420 million on electric trains, and 139 of that is going to come from the regional fuel tax. We've just put the order into Spain for the next lot of, I think, 23 trains. But it takes 3 years from putting the order in to actually the trains being delivered and being paid for.
Well,
now, you can't put the order in until you've got the money to pay for them. But all of those things are the things that the regional fuel tax is enabling.
I guess on a day-to-day basis, though, for Auckland, it is expensive to be filling up your car at the moment. Obviously, we're trying to move away from people having to drive into work or having to use that type of transport around the city. I'm interested in what your thoughts are. Fesso Collins, who has announced he's going to be running for the mayoralty next year, which we know now that you won't be doing. He's said that for him a big priority will be free public transport in Tāmaki. Do you think that's a feasible goal?
Oh, I think it's a desirable goal. Can that be accomplished right now? Not unless you were to see everything's a trade-off. So if you make the fares free, that means the money that you get back from the fares, which is about a quarter of the cost of running them, you wouldn't have in order to invest in more and better public transport. So what we've done instead, and it comes into effect in July of this year, and I'm really looking forward to it, we're introducing something called the Community Connect card, which means that the lowest income people in our community will get a 50% discount on all public transport. So instead of making it free for everybody, there's a whole lot of the community, myself included, that doesn't need free public transport. We can afford to pay, but I understand that there are people that are really finding it hard to make ends meet, and creating a 50% subsidy in public transport fares is going to be a way that we can really give a helping hand to that group of our population who often, you know, have to travel in from, say, South Auckland into town to do work that doesn't pay hugely. It might be the stuff that it might be cleaning, or it might be retail work, or working in a restaurant or a fast food outlet. We're trying to provide assistance to those people that are struggling, and we'll help them first. And if we can get to the point somewhere in the future where we can make public transport free, that'd be fine. But at the moment, there are trade-offs. And the trade-offs are, I want to make sure that we target it to those that need it most, and I want to make sure that we can improve and increase our public transport, and the less money we've got to do that, the less we get of it.
Well, let's talk a little bit about COVID briefly, because we've seen an not unexpected, in fact, a very expected steep rise in cases this week that is putting pressure on our systems. They're managing to cope so far, but it is putting a bit more strain on. What's some of the feedback you've been receiving from Auckland's facilities in particular around where these kind of pressure points are coming up from the current outbreak?
Yeah, look, I think what we first of all have to celebrate, if we compare, it's quite frightening what's happening with Omicron. You know, we're up to, what was it yesterday, 2,365 cases, and, you know, nearly 1,700 of those were in Auckland. Two deaths. The first two deaths in some time, that's pretty tragic, and 116 in hospital. But if we were, say, in New South Wales at the same time with the spread of Omicron, we're getting, I think in New Zealand, 46 cases per 100,000. Mm-hmm. New South Wales we're getting 367, and Victoria getting 664. So what we haven't had yet, and we hope we can avoid it, but it's going to be a really tough ask. We haven't got a healthcare system that's overrun yet. We've got one person in ICU. It's we haven't flooded ICU. And why have we achieved that? Because, you know, so many of us have been vaccinated. If you're boosted, you're 10 times less likely to end up in hospital.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just think of what's happening down outside Parliament. And if we'd all behaved like the anti-vaxxers had behaved down there and we hadn't got vaccinated, 10,000 people would be dead in our country right now.
So how are the services currently managing, though? Right now, where we are seeing this increased caseload, how are the services managing in Tāmaki Makaurau?
The real challenge, I think, Rachel, is that a whole lot of people are going to get infected and therefore they're going to be off work, and there's going to be even more people that are close contacts of those who are affected. And that's going to put every service that we offer around the city under some pressure with the level of people that are away from work. That's partly why for emergency services they have reduced the period of time if you get the anti-antigen antigen test and you prove negative. So the problem that we've got at the moment, for example, in the hospitals is not so much that the hospitals are being flooded with COVID cases. There are a whole lot more people in hospital with them. But among those that get COVID are, of course, nurses and doctors. And there'll be people away, and you get something like you've got in the Starship Children's Hospital, and, you know, suddenly you've got COVID in there, and you're taking away the vital staff that service a critical area of health care. That's the real threat that we've got, which is why you have things like vaccine passes, etc., as inconvenient as they might be and hard as they might be on those people that haven't been vaccinated, but they're necessary to stop this thing getting wildly out of control and our hospital systems being overwhelmed.
Well, we'll keep an eye on how services are coping over the next few weeks, but thank you very much for your time this morning, Mayor Phil Goff. I hope you have a great rest of your Tuesday, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, Rachel.
Kia pai tōra.
Mā te wā.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Thank you very much.